An article published this week in the Journal of Genetic Counseling includes a quotation from a Dr. Bell, a New England physician who was writing in 1859. Dr. Bell observed, "Perhaps no opinion upon subjects of a medical character is more widely diffused among the public or more tenaciously held than that the results of the marriage of blood relations are almost uniformly unfortunate. This opinion has been so long held and so often reiterated that by sheer force of these circumstances alone, it has come to be regarded as an unquestioned and unquestionable fact." Well, this week's journal article questions that proposition and offers an answer. The children of first cousins, it finds, are not much more at risk of birth defect than any other children. Robin Bennett is president-elect of the National Society of Genetic Counselors and lead author of the study. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for inviting me, Robert.
First, according to the charts, first cousins have 1/8 of their genes in common. Wasn't the fear that some defects that are caused by recessive genes, recessive traits, would be that much more likely to be manifest if two such people mate?
That's true, but these recessive disorders in general are very rare. So as a group, although cousins are at risk to have children with these disorders, we found that the likelihood of a increased risk is probably in the range of 1.8 to 2.8%.
And how great is the risk in the population at large?
The general background risk is in the range of 3 to 4%. So the risk to cousin marriage is about 2 to 3% above that background risk. So the overall risk would be in the range of 5 to 7% for the children of a cousin union.
You address the question of how common marriage between first cousins is. And I gather the answer is that in this country, it might not be very common, the percentage might be in single digits, but there are some groups among whom it is far greater than that, and in the world at large, it's much greater than that.
Correct. In the world at large, it's as common as 20% of the global population is married to their cousins, and in some parts of Asia, Southeast Asia, 60% of people are married to their cousins.
And American groups, I saw in one chart that there was a study of a couple of hundred unions among Kansas Mennonites, and in that group, 33% were between cousins.
That's true. And it's not that Mennonites necessarily advocate for cousin marriages. It's just that it's a population that marries within their group because of cultural reasons.
Now, you write in the article, and you're addressing this to genetic counselors, you write that in counseling couples, cousins that are either considering marriage or having a child, you write, providing historical examples of cousin couples may also help to normalize their situation. What are some famous historical examples of cousin couples?
Well, Charles Darwin was married to his cousin Emma Wedgwood, and Albert Einstein was married to his cousin, first cousin. And there are many examples in the royal families of Europe of cousins marrying.
Of course, one of the things people, this used to be taught in school a long time ago, was that intermarriage among European royalty accounted for the notorious hemophilia of the Bourbons or the Habsburgs. You write, not so. That's not regarded as the truth, I gather.
Actually, that's an X-linked disorder.
It's linked to the X chromosome, you say?
Yes. So that didn't really have to do with the fact that they were marrying their cousins.
You focused on cousin marriages. We're talking about first cousin marriages. What kind of reaction have you gotten to word of this journal article?
It's been an explosion of requests for information from cousins. My email is full this morning.
You mean there are a tremendous number of cousins out there who are
emailing saying, well, I've been afraid to come to anyone with this information, and here's my story. What do you think? So I've been referring them to genetic counselors in their area because finally maybe they can get a straight answer from someone.
Well, Robin Bennett, thank you very much for talking with us about the new article in the Journal of Genetic Counseling.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be on the program.
Ms. Bennett spoke to us from Seattle. She is the president-elect of the National Society of Genetic Counselors.
A little lesson in relationships now. The term cousin really means first cousin. A first cousin is someone who shares a set of grandparents with you. Cousins are the children of your aunts and uncles. Of course, most of us know that.
But a lot of us don't understand exactly what a second cousin is. Here is a refresher course on this subject from a website called genealogy.com.
A second cousin shares great grandparents with you, but you don't share the same grandparents.
Third cousins share great-great-grandparents, but nothing closer than that.
Then there's your first cousin once removed.
Removed means simply not of the same generation.
Once removed means one generation separates you from someone. Your mother's first cousin is your first cousin once removed.
Twice removed means that there is a two-generation difference.
You and your grandmother's first cousin are first cousins twice removed.
And yes, one day you may be introduced to your second cousin twice removed. By no means should you lend this person money.